Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chaya. We're in the second pasuk. Yesterday we mentioned one of the important ways to develop security in a relationship that the Eshet Chaya is very well aware of, and she excels at, and that is to know how to receive. As we learned yesterday, just as important as it is to give, is to learn how to receive. Yesterday we spoke about feeling satisfied from what others do for us, that the husband and wife both feel satisfaction from what the other is doing for them. If they receive in that way, they are building a tremendous security in the other, which brings tremendous beracha. There's another branch in the art of receiving. And for that, we're going to go to the mitzvah of Bikurim. The Torah tells us in Parashat Ki Tavoh that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, the land that Hashem gave Abraham Avinu for his children. Of course, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to see the beracha and the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah says that when a farmer sees his fruits coming out, ve'lakachta mireshit kol peri ha'adama, Torah commands the farmer that he has to take from the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael, v'samta batene, he has to take it and put it in a basket, v'halachta el ha-makom, and you should go to the place that Hashem will choose, referring to the Beit HaMikdash. And that's it's a long trip, you have to understand. When the Torah tells the farmer, take your first fruits, I mean, it's not a lot of money, but first fruits are not that much in value, but it's quite a trip, especially in those days, to go from the north of Israel, traveling to Yerushalayim. You're talking about days and days of travel to bring a basket of fruits. But the Torah says he has to go. Ubata el kohen, and you come to the kohen, you get to the Beit HaMikdash, you come to see the kohen, ve'amarta elav, and you will say to him, this is part of the commandment, you go there and you say to him, higadti hayom ladonai elohecha, I am here today to proclaim to Hashem, Kibati el haaretz asher nishva Adonai la avotenu latet lanu. I am here to say that I have arrived at the land that Hashem promised our fathers. And then the pasuk says, Belakach ha-kohen ha-tele mi-yadecha, the kohen takes the basket, behinicho lifnei mizbah Adonai Elohecha, and he puts the basket next to the mizbeah. Rashi alav shalom wants to know, what does it mean, ve'amarta elav, that when you come to the kohen, before you give him the basket, you're coming in, remember, you came from hundreds of miles away. You traveled a long way, you brought them the first fruits. And you have it in a beautiful basket. In fact, in Mishnah, in Bikurim, talks about how festive this whole procedure was of bringing the Bikurim. They made a very big deal out of it. So now, after all the travel and the gift that he's giving, he comes with a gift in his hand. And before he gives to the Kohen, he says, I am here to tell you that I have arrived at the land that Hashem promised us. What is that for? So comes Rashi Alav Shalom and says, Ve'amarta elav, you know why you have to first tell the Kohen before you give him the basket? She'encha kafui tova. You have to tell him so that you're not going to be a person who we call kafui tova. Kafui tova is
ingrate.
It's the opposite of
grateful.
You have to say that you're not a person who is not grateful. So the obvious question here is, here's a man who traveled. He did all kinds of work to get here. And he's about to hand the Kohen a wonderful gift of fruits, the first fruits. You also have to remember, in those days, the fruits weren't like today. You walk into any store and you have the best fruits that you could ever imagine. In those days, when the season of fruits came out, it was an exciting time. They were waiting all winter for it. So you have the Kohen, when he gets the basket of fruits, even today, if someone sends you a basket, it's nice. If today someone sends you a basket to your house. So obviously, they're coming to express to you how much they appreciate you, how much they love you. If they come on their own with that basket, it's even more. If they gave their first fruits to you, it's even more. If they walked a mile to get to you, that's even more. If they walked 100 miles to get there. You know, there's a saying that says actions speak for themselves. Sometimes people say actions speak louder than words. They have all these kinds of statements which have some truth to them. Sometimes a person talks and talks and talks, but they tell, listen, stop talking. Actions. There are a lot of people that have a lot of nice dreams with their mouth, but in reality, they don't get to it. So there is such a thing as actions are louder than words. However, don't take that statement and use it in the world of Hakarat HaTov. It's a very dangerous way of life. And it's easily pulling the person into the wrong place. What do I mean? In the world of Hakarat HaTov, when you receive from someone and you show them appreciation with your action, it would take, in our minds, priority that we gave them something. It's clear. It's obvious that we appreciate. Why else would I walk a mile to deliver my first fruits to you? Why am I here? If not that I appreciate all that you do for me. Why else did I buy you a necklace? If not that I appreciate you. Why else do I work and support the family? If not that I appreciate what you do for this family.
How many things can a husband and wife say that they do that shows and expresses through their action their hakarat hatov, their gratefulness towards their spouse? Probably in that relationship, there is more done for one another than any other relationship. So here we're learning that no matter how much you do for someone, you can't replace the words. The words cannot be swallowed and assumed because of your actions. It's a big hidush. Because again, actions are louder than words. So if I did the louder action, why do I have to say anything? I mean, it's self-understood. There are so many things that go on between a marriage in a relationship, so much back and forth, that it becomes understood to each person that they appreciate and there's no need to express it. And comes the Torah here in this mitzvah of Bikurim and says to us in very clear words that actions do not replace words. While actions are important to show and express our appreciation, but they do not replace the value of words. Here is this man coming to the Kohen with the basket, but before he gives him the basket, he has to tell him, I want to tell you that I appreciate the fact that I have what I have, that Hashem gave us the land that He promised us. I want to tell you that I appreciate it. And here is the basket. Here's my gift. Such an important principle. Like I said, we express our appreciation to many strangers, to outsiders that we don't do so much for. So there we say, thank you. Ah, you did this for me. You picked me up today. Thank you so much. You gave me a lift. I give you a lift to your office. You can't stop thanking him. Thank you so much. I can't believe it. Your wife drives you somewhere. Okay, have a great day. But what happened? The most giving relationship and receiving relationship is where you'll find the least amount of expressive appreciation. And how come? Because you're always giving baskets. I have to tell her, thank you for driving me. You know what I did yesterday, Pa? She doesn't know how much I appreciate her. And vice versa. Because we do so much, because we give so many baskets in this relationship, we feel it's unnecessary to speak. It's unnecessary to say, I swear to tell you how much I appreciate me. I have to, it's like, it almost like, it's like too obvious to say it. That's what it feels like. By saying it almost feels like, what, there's a thought, not like that. What I have to say it for? To a stranger, I have to tell him because he doesn't know. Well, to tell someone who knows, what I have to say it for? But you have to know here, there's no greater satellite that picks up information than the creator of the world. He knows your feelings. And here you're coming with actions. So he knows what's all that's going inside of you. And yet, you have to say it. Remember, you're talking to the Creator. What are you saying for? He even knows what you're thinking.
and all the more so what you're doing. But yet, the Torah says, do not forget this important part of your appreciation. You have to say it. Somehow, speaking and saying it makes all the difference.
It's a very big hidush.
I'm not sure. It's a good question. Jack's asking, is the statement for the guy himself? Or the statement is for the recipient? Or both? I'm not sure. I thought you were asking, maybe the guy is faking it. Maybe he didn't feel the words. He's just saying it. But if that's the question, then let it be. Even fake words are better than no words.
Jack's saying something very beautiful.
That by expressing Hakarat HaTov to Hashem, it's obviously not for him to receive it. Because he knows if we really feel it or not. And the words are not a barrier in God's world. So obviously, this statement is for the person himself. That means, in reality, it helps you become more appreciative when you express it. In human relationships, it could be that the recipient also will gain more because of your words. But from Bikurim, where there is no human on the other side, it's clear that the words are helping the person himself. He may think he's appreciated, but by expressing the words, it brings out the appreciation in a bigger way than a gift, than the basket. Bottom line is, to be a good recipient, you have to know how to use your words to show that you receive and you appreciate. I once saw on a famous Mishnah in Masechet Kiddushin. Mishnah talks about how a man is able to marry a woman. How do you get married? You can't just say, I'm marrying you. Will you marry me? Doesn't mean anything. There's a system, there's a way to acquire a woman for marriage. Famous Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Ha'isha niknet b'shlosha drachim. To acquire a woman, you can do one of three things. Kesef, that's the way we usually do it. Give her a ring, give her a coin, give her something of value. Shtar, that we don't use. Shtar, with a document. Ubiya, and relations. That we don't do either. Can't acquire a woman that way. In our world. But those in halakha, those are the three ways to acquire. So I once heard a beautiful, not the simple explanation of the words, but a very powerful explanation. That this Mishnah is not only telling you how to get married, but it's also hinting to you how to stay married. And how to have a great marriage. Like I told you a number of times, many people are so worried about getting married, but they should be more worried about being happily married when they get married. They should be preparing for that. So they explain like this. There are three ways to acquire a woman for a great marriage. You want to acquire not just a physical wife, but you want to acquire a great marriage. So there are three ways that a woman is acquired in a relationship. Want a great relationship? These are the three things you have to do. You ready? Number one, easy. The keset. Money. Now besides the literal translation, which is also true, the more giving you are of your money,
obviously each person according to what they can afford. Money doesn't mean you have to give them what the neighbors give them.
Money means you are easy to let go of your money to make them happy.
Besides that explanation, that's definitely one of the ways to acquire a woman, to be easy when it comes to money. But the word kesef also, in Hebrew, is lashon kisufin.
Kisufin means when you desire something. Ha'isha niknet bekesef.
What does that mean in practical terms?
It means when you come home from the Bet Knesset, or you come home from the Bet Midrash, or you come home from business, every once in a while, you can express your kisufin, your kesef, that I was thinking about all day today. At least say it. I missed you today. That's something people say when they're dating, or right when they get married. First week.
Sometimes even first month.
And then that's it. Aisha niknet bekesef. You can acquire a person by telling them that you actually think about them even when they're not with you. That's really the idea. It's not so much that you miss the person. The idea is that our relationship is greater than when we see each other. That means you're on my mind even when you're not here. That's a very big kinyan. It's a very big way of acquiring closeness in a relationship. Second one is shtar. Shtar is a document. One acquire a person, a friend, every once in a while, take out a piece of paper and write a note. You're going to shul in the morning, everyone's sleeping. Write a little note. It could be 2 words, it could be 10, it could be longer. A little note, and you leave it. You could do that to your wife, you could do it to your children. It's such a powerful thing to write a note to somebody when they wake up and they see a note next to them. You know what it does for a little boy? When he wakes up and he sees his father, wrote him a little note. It's so much bigger than the paper and the words that you wrote inside. It's a much more powerful statement. The statement is, I think about you even when I'm not with you. Usually people only see each other and remember each other and talk to each other and have dealings with each other when they're together. A note
not as good. He's asking me, what about text? Text is nice, but not as good as a note.
Nice, but it's not a shtar. A note is more powerful. A note means I'm thinking about you even when we had nothing right now physically to do with each other. I took the time and I wrote something and I left it. It's a very powerful way of acquiring a relationship and showing hakarat hatov. So again, kesef is by showing how much you were thinking about the person even when you're not with them. Shtar. Every once in a while. I don't write one every day. I have to be strategic. But every once in a while, in the right moment.
Very powerful tool, the power of notes. Try that not only with a spouse, but anyone that you love.
And I'm warning you, if you do it with your children, do not expect them to reply back.
What's going to happen is you're going to write a note to your son or daughter. You're going to spend an hour writing something. And you're going to wonder if they even got the note. Because they're not even going to show you that they read it, received it, nothing.
I'm warning you ahead of time. They're not going to reply to you for the most part. But don't be disappointed. Job is done. They have the note probably saved somewhere.
And they hold on to it for a long time. But they're not going to respond to you so easily. For whatever reason, it's not for today. So again, so far, we have ways of acquiring somebody by showing them our appreciation for them. One is when we tell them that we're thinking about them even when they weren't in front of us. That's kesef.
Shtar.
Notes. And the last one is bi'ah. Bi'ah is the way you walk into the house. Coming back from the Bet Midrash, you're coming back from work, you're coming back from wherever you're coming back from. One of the most important moments in a relationship is the first moment. You have to know the first moment, the first interaction, you're out for 10 hours and you're going to be home for another 10 hours. But the first moment that you walk in, the first meeting, is such a critical part of what makes a strong relationship. Tov aharit davar mereshito. A good ending, the 10 hours, good ending is only as good as its beginning. The beginning is so big for so many reasons. Simple reason is, it sets the tone. The way you start, you already put yourself on the highway. You come in and you're all upset that you're all angry. In some homes, you could say, "Mishenichnas av memaatim besincha." When av comes, you have a rule. When chodesh av comes, you have to decrease our happiness. In some relationships, you could say that about the father. "Mishenichnas av," when the father comes in, memaatim besimcha. They have to be more, they're on edge. You have to know, walking in and the first moment of a relationship is very big for the continuation. That's why, by the way, when you see people, every time you see somebody that you haven't seen in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, a day, you greet them. It's an interesting thing. All right, I saw you yesterday. Saw you last night. But you see somebody that you haven't seen in a few hours, or there's a certain expression that you give them to show them that you care about them. But you don't do that every second because you already did it before. Imagine I say hello to you. Shalom aleichem. And a minute later, I do the same thing. I did it already. So how come we do it from day to day? The answer is every beginning, every time you start something, it's very critical for the continuation. So every time I see somebody that I haven't seen for an hour or two or three or whatever, that beginning is very powerful. Besides that, it sets the tone. Besides that, it also shows how much appreciation you have for a person, especially in a home.
have to remember something.
Generally speaking, a woman is very invested in her home. What does it mean, invested? It means the house is clean.
More or less, it's clean. That's an investment. If the beds are made, it's an investment, whether she did it or she had someone do it for her. But bottom line, she's in charge. So you walk into a house, there was an investment there. The furniture is where it's supposed to be. The window shades are open or closed the way they're supposed to be. The place is clean the way you like it. There's dinner ready. There's drinks in the refrigerator. Someone had to buy them. There are snacks. Things are operational. Showers working. Things are happening. There is a certain hashka'ah. In Hebrew, it's called hashka'ah. Hashka'ah means investment that makes a home look normal. And of course, there is, if there's children in the home, it's a huge investment. Tremendous amount of investment went when you were out into the home of raising the child, of giving them, of dealing with their issues. So when you come home, that first moment, besides that it sets the tone for the next few hours, but it's a tremendous opportunity to express that whatever investment this person just put in for you is being recognized. If you walk in and after hours of work, you just walk into the house and like, oh, it's supposed to be clean. It's supposed to be normal. It's supposed to be this. Well, you missed an opportunity of kinyan. You had an opportunity to make your relationship so much more powerful by recognizing the person and recognizing their efforts. That's called bi'ah. How do you do that? The way you walk in. Doesn't have to be long, you know, speeches. The way you walk in, the way you smile and the way you greet, it is a huge part of making that relationship a tremendous success. So again, Ha'isha Niknet Bishlosha Derachim. And it all has to do with communication. Bekesef, besides money, it's about words that speak of your thoughts. Even when you were out, shtar, notes every once in a while. The birthday card, by the way, doesn't do the job, just for the record. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not what it is. Because it's expected, it's formal, it's not what it is. It's gotta be done in a off-the-cuff one. And via, how you start your meeting in the home, the first moment. It seems like such an easy thing to do. Really is very easy. These things don't cost a lot of money. Everything we spoke about besides kesef, and even that we explained differently, doesn't cost a lot of money. But you should know the most difficult person to acquire is a spouse. Most difficult person to express gratitude in a real way is a wife or a husband. There's always something in our mind that tells us not to do. For example, she made the house ready for you. She made dinner. There's a voice in your ear that says, that's her job. What does that mean?
I mean, I also went out to work.
That is the voice that destroys a home. Is the voice that says, that's his job. Hey, the husband, he was working all day for you, for the family. Well, that's his job. It's both ways. A regular person, a stranger, makes you dinner, you can't get over it. Someone comes to your home and gives you a few thousand dollars. See, I work for you today. The whole day I work just for you. I want to give you the money. You can't believe he is. He worked all day for me. Can't believe it. It's amazing how Hashem made the world that the people who are closest to us and do the most for us are the ones that are most difficult to express our feelings of appreciation. That's probably the biggest excuse. It's their job. That's what they do. And I do other things. It's a terrible plague. If she's raising my children, well, my voice inside says, well, it's her children too. You think she's doing it for me? You really think when she feeds the children, she's thinking about my children? It's her children. In fact, she puts her children ahead of me also. Oh, but your children are growing up. You see your 20-year-old son. You know what it took to make that 20-year-old boy? You have any idea how many dinners, how many snacks, how many doctor's visits, how many worries, how many sleepless nights, how many diapers, how many things it took to get this kid? How many times to be picked up from school and dropped off by friends and making play dates with his friends and going to church? You understand this 20-year-old product that's called your son? You walk into shul and see people see you with your 20-year-old. They say, oh, wow. So fortunate. What a beautiful boy you have. And you're glowing because your 20-year-old son is out of this world. But Lema said, let's be honest, what did you do? You did 1%. She did all the work for you, and you get to enjoy your 20-year-old son. But you say, what was her intent? Her children. That's what happens in a marriage. People don't feel the need to express either because it's obvious, or because there's really no reason to, because whatever is happening is either their job or they're doing it for themselves. That was always the case. From Adam HaRishon till today, this is the challenge, to express gratitude. But in today's world, the challenge became, I don't know if it's double, tenfold, 100, I don't know, I can't tell you how much more. Why? What happened today? What happened today is the consumer has become the master. The hidush of the times, you have to know. Today, for example, a guy walks into a restaurant. You should just look at people how they walk into a restaurant. He walks, and this guy doesn't have a dollar to his name.
Customer's always there.
Doesn't have a dollar to his name. But when he walks into that restaurant, he feels like he owns this place. I want that table. Who are you? I want this table. Sir, can we put you again? I want that one. And then he's expecting service. Menu, please. The food didn't come yet. Would you tell them I've been here for already 10 minutes?
guy walks into a restaurant today, the consumer, he is a melech. For an hour, he owns the restaurant. And in fact, all the people there become his avadim. You tell them what to do. You tell them what you like. Why? Because you're the consumer. It's not only in restaurants. It's a general way of approaching all consumers. Anybody selling a product talks to you how to make you happy, make you comfortable, to pamper you.
You.
It's all about you. So a person today grows up in such an environment. And they have these expectations that everybody in the world is there to serve them. When I feel that I am entitled to service, so obviously, I don't feel the need to express my appreciation. Everyone owes me. I become blind to all the kindness that people do for me because I am the consumer. When a person feels entitled, it's not only an ugly way of living life. It's not only a reason not to appreciate what people do for you because you feel entitled, but it becomes a life of tremendous disappointment. Especially when I do so much for somebody, automatically I feel entitled. A parent feels entitled that their children should serve them. A rabbi, a teacher, feels entitled that their students should do for them. An employer paying people for their work feels entitled. Look how much I do for you. Look how much I give you. A husband and wife probably know more of a relationship that feels entitlement, because they do so much for each other. If you feel magiali, I'm entitled in a restaurant, how much more so do you feel that way in your home? And it seems even the Torah supports this. Torah says, kabed et abicha ve'et imecha. Honor your father and mother. Look how much they did for you. Oh, wow. Torah recognizes my entitlement. Torah says, respect your rabbi. Ah, see that? Torah recognizes my feeling of entitlement. But you should know that it's a mistake. The Torah did not speak to the father and mother that they should demand respect from their children. Torah spoke to the children that they are obligated to respect their parents. Torah did not speak to a rabbi and he should demand respect from his students. They're commanded to respect him. It's a one-way street, not a two-way street. When we do for others, we're supposed to be doing just that, doing for others. It's supposed to be unselfish. If you do things for your spouse, it's supposed to be because you're kind. It's supposed to come from your unselfishness. The minute you expect something in return, you're no longer giving, you're investing for yourself. That's one of the biggest challenges of a relationship, is that because you do so much, you feel you're owed so much. But in reality, you're owed nothing, at least from your perspective. From their perspective, they have to give you. But you were doing kindness. If you do kindness with someone, why are you owed? If I help you from a kind person, why am I owed? I did it out of my kindness for you. When did that become a bill that you should have to pay me back? So it's no longer kindness. They have to respect you.
They have to pay you back. But it's a one-way street, not a two-way street. A marriage, a relationship where the person giving is giving out of real chesed, doesn't expect anything back. And when they don't expect anything back, their appreciation grows and the relationship flourishes. It all starts from this area of recognizing what's being done for you. The opposite, when we have a chance to give somebody, it's the biggest zechut that we have. It's the biggest merit. They're doing you a favor for being the recipient of your kindness. You're fortunate you have someone to give money to. You're fortunate you have someone to work for. When a person doesn't feel like the consumer, the master, when they feel they're owed nothing, which is the truth, from our perspective, we're owed nothing. Anything we have in life, we were given. And anything that we did for others was a gift to us that we were able to give. To give our children was the biggest merit for us. To have a child, the biggest merit is for the parents. They're so fortunate. They have someone to raise. They have someone to give to. The kids have to respect. That's their obligation. But from my perspective, you know how much I owe my children? Because of them, my years are more enjoyable. Because of them, my years are more fulfilling. Because of them, maybe I'll have a greater olam haba. I have to thank them more than they thank me. The people that work for me, you know how much I owe them? The zechut of giving to someone else is so much greater than anything else. When a person gives in that way, they don't feel like, oh, she has to, she owes me. No, it's wrong, it's a mistake. Express your hakarat hatov like you would to a stranger who made you dinner, to a neighbor who brought you something unexpectedly. But not only does appreciation add to a relationship, but it brings happiness to a person's life. And with this, I'm going to end. Not only does a person who recognizes how much someone does for him, does for the relationship, but it does so much for the person as well. David HaMelech says it in the most beautiful way. He says, Ani amarti bechovzi. He says, I said in my haste. And my haste means without proper thinking. That giving time to understand the sugya well. Kol Adam kozev. Is every person is a disappointment. If a person doesn't understand the subject well, and they just act without thinking like most people, that's why we sit here and learn, so that we don't say things in haste, that we don't think in haste. We sit and learn so we understand what's real. But says David HaMelech, if you don't learn, if you don't listen to a class like this, and you don't think about these ideas, if you just live life from day to day, that's called saying in haste without really putting thought into it. You know what's going to happen to you when you don't have a class like this and you don't review it and take notes and put it into your life? What's going to happen to you is you're going to end up with Kol HaAdam Kozev. Every important person in your life is going to be a disappointment for you. Says Rashi Alav HaShalom, like who? Who's Kol HaAdam Kozev? Like who will disappoint you? Says Rashi Alav HaShalom, David is talking. Ki ra'iti et beni boged bi. Says David, I saw my own son going against me. Umvakesh et nafshi, his son of Shalom, wanted his position, wanted to kill him. What a disappointment. That's one area of disappointment. If you're the consumer, the trained master, and you feel everybody owes you, number one, you're going to get hit big with your kids. You're going to be so disappointed in them. They're never going to do enough to satisfy what they owe you, at least in your mind. When they're single, they don't respect enough. When they get married, they don't call. They don't come by enough. You say, I don't understand, after so much that I invested in these kids, where is their Hakarat HaTov? They should be bowing to me. They should be slaving over me. So disappointing it is when you expect so much from your children because of what you've done for them. I says, Darila, I'm warning you. If you're the guy who gives, waiting for people to pay you back, you're going to be very disappointed. You're going to be very hurt. You're going to sit in your house and say, these people, they're just no good. After everything that was done for them, come on. It could be they're no good from their end, but you're going to feel the disappointment from your end. Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, the second area. First area is disappointment in family. Says Rashi, the second area of disappointment. Bekol Yisrael gomlin li ra'ata hatova. If you're in a position of leadership, get ready for disappointment. A good leader is one who invested in the people that he's leading. He worried about them. He worked for them. He did everything to help them. But guess what? When he's sitting in his house and he's waiting for them to pay him back because of so much that he did, instead of thinking, what a zechut that I had to be able to help them. I owe them. I owe them that I was able to teach them. I was able to serve them. I was able to give them. If not for them, I would be empty today. If that's the mindset, you're going to be not only appreciative, but you're going to be very happy. But if the mindset is, you know how much I do for everybody? And they don't even measure a little bit how much they owe me. If that's your attitude, big disappointments are coming in your life. You're going to sit home and say, what a waste of time. What a waste of energy to help these people. Look what they do. Look at their reaction. And you're eating all the feelings of negativity. So far, two areas. One is from your family. Included in that is your friends, your neighbors, the people that you're close to. If you're a person who gives and you want appreciation for that instead of appreciating those that you give to, you'll be disappointed in your family and friends, and you're going to be disappointed in the people that you're leading. If you're a rabbi, you're going to be very disappointed. If you're leading your business, you're going to be disappointed. Whatever area of leadership, you're going to get very hurt. Prepare yourself for some major pain that's coming up in your life. And the third one says, Rashi Alav HaShalom, Av Shemuel HaNavi, Shehu Ne'eman LaNavi. Even the representative of God, a prophet, Avu Kozev, even he could be a disappointment. Which means, in simple words, even God could be a disappointment in your life. You say to yourself, every morning I wake up early, I learn Torah for him, I pray for him, I keep Shabbat for him, I give charity for him, I eat kosher for him, I do everything for him. This is what I get. Zo Torah, zo schara. This is the reward. You know how many people feel that way? I've seen in my life people that have done in their whole life one thing for Hashem, one. And they get so disappointed. Understand? I went to shul on Kippur this year. I don't understand. How could it be? Everyone has their own measurement of what they're doing for Hashem. Totally off. You're doing for him. You really think so? Besides that, you can never do enough to repay him. But you really think you're keeping Shabbat for him? You really think so? You're really praying for him? That's your attitude. Be saying, I don't understand. So disappointed in God. So disappointed that he's not recognizing my tremendous kindness that I did for him. It's a crazy thing to say, but it's reality. When you're behavzi, when you don't think about what's right and you don't take time to think about what really is the proper perspective, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have a family and you're going to be hurt from them. You're going to have students. You're going to be in leadership and you're going to be hurt. And even the Creator himself, you're going to end up getting hurt from him. Your whole life, kol ha'adam kozev. Ani amarti behovzi, says David HaMelech. If I don't come to a class like this, if I don't sit down and see things in the proper perspective, which most people do not, what's going to happen is a life of constant disappointment. We must turn everything around. When I give to my family, to my children, to my wife, to my parents, it's my merit. I have to thank them that I have the ability to give because of them. Thank you to my son. Thank you for allowing me to be your father. Thank you. If I don't have you, I couldn't do all the mitzvot that I do for you. I support you. I put you in school. I teach you. I give you. Thank you. Where would all my merits go? It's not for you. It's to thank your spouse for them being recipients of your kindness. Who else would you give money to? Who else would you support? And the same with a student, the same with an employee. If you don't think, you're going to end up being disappointed. But that's what David HaMelech is saying. If you're in haste, like most people are in haste today, people can't think for more than 3 seconds. If they have 3 seconds, they pull out their phone, they need to do something. They can't think for a few minutes. Says David HaMelech, if you don't put time to think about this subject, all the important people in your life will disappoint you. Chas v'shalom. That's why we're here today. We're here today to learn how to receive. One of the biggest and most important ways of knowing how to receive is to express your gratitude with your words, with your pen. But to express gratitude, you first have to know you received something. If you have the mindset that you're the consumer, if you walk into your house like you walk into the restaurant, if your wife is like the waiter, if your children are like the people in the kitchen, if that's the way you approach your relationships, you're, besides that it's wrong, besides that you're off, but you're going to have a, God forbid, a very disappointing life. You got to change. You got to walk into your house like you owe them the house. Look at this house. I owe you. When you walk around with such a feeling that I owe them, then the feelings of appreciation will come out in a much bigger and more sincere way. This is the way to build a secure relationship. Hakarat HaTov, that's being expressed. Jackson just said a beautiful thing. He says, look at the story of Bikurim. A guy who walked hundreds of miles with a basket of fruits, the first fruits to give to the Kohen, by the time he gets there, he might actually think he's doing the Kohen the biggest favor. And the Torah reminds him, no, sir, you're the one that is the one that needs to appreciate. You walked hundreds of miles and you need to remind yourself while you're giving the Kohen that it's your zechut to be able to be here and give the Kohen. That's how you walk into a house. That's how you meet somebody that you love. Be'ezrat Hashem, you should be zoche to live the words of the Torah. Hakarat Hatov is the way to receive. When we receive, we build secure, powerful relationships. Have a good day.